You turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I had a teacher at Emmaus who made it a point, if not every class, at least once a week, would let us know that the challenge as Christians that we have is the same in the first century as it is today. And he said, even times going back all the way to the Garden of Eden, it's the same challenge. Has God spoken or hasn't he? Has God written it so that you and I can understand it, or hasn't he? And you know, that is the battle of the ages. And in this text here that we have in front of us, a text very well known, you've probably heard it preached on dozens of times, but it's something God's working in my own heart, and he's brought this to mind to share it, and I'll share it with a couple of other verses as well. But I'd like us to start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. We'll stop there for a minute and then we'll keep reading. So at the end of verse 18, it tells us that they're holding down the truth in unrighteousness. So God's truth is being held down, is being suppressed, is being hidden away, so that there is unrighteousness on the scene. And in verse 19, it tells us that God is manifest. God is shown. And the first thing he says is, in them. So if you want proof of God, believe it or not, one place to look is inside of you. You know, I don't even have to go outside of me to know that God is there. Isn't that amazing? God has made it, you know, so good that he lets himself be manifest in us. And then the second part here in verse 20, it's God's proof outside. So it says in verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. That means if you haven't, like Jesus said, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you're going to get a chance to hear, and you're going to get a chance to see. And so what we have is, we have an internal manifestation of who God is inside of us. We have an external manifestation of all the creation around us to let us know that God is there. Okay? And it's clearly seen. It's, you know, we don't have to go through a bunch of scientific ways of manipulation. It's clearly seen. You go out there and you see all those stars and you look at how nature is and you say, wow, God is there. And our society basically is on the direction of God is not there. God is not seen. God is nowhere to be found. And all you got to do is read the papers in certain places when there's catastrophe, when there's a tsunami. Where was God? When there's a hurricane. Yeah, where was your God? Look at all the people that died. Well, you know, my God wasn't sleeping. The governments could be sleeping, but God wasn't sleeping. God is at work, and he's there. We may not like all the things that God permits and allows and does, but he's active. He definitely is. And, you know, people can judge God for all they, you know, people think that they can stand and judge Almighty God. This is not part of the problem. We're going to see that in this text. I can sit here and say, well, look at all those poor people. God should do something. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying, I'm telling God what to do. Come now. God is in the throne and he tells us what to do. And if he desires to reveal his plan, he'll reveal it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So as man pulls away from God, does not want to acknowledge that manifestation in them, do not want to acknowledge the manifestation in the world around them, we find that they become godless. That means no God. Okay? God's not in the picture. And what do we find? How do you manifest that God is in your life? I'm going to tell you the opposite of what's in this verse. You glorify God and you thank God. Isn't that simple? Think of every day of your life. I don't know about you. In the morning, I thank the Lord that I had a good rest. Sometimes even if it's only 4 hours, it's a great rest, you know? You know, I thank the Lord that I can go to the bathroom, you know? Hey, listen, there's people that have all sorts of problems. I thank you, Lord, that I've got health, that I can walk. Thank you, I glorify you that I can take in the beauty of the sky, of the stars. That I can have a wife and children. That I can have a house. There's all sorts of things. But you know who's in the focal point of my life when I do that? God is in the picture. And we live in a godless society that does not want God in the picture. They neither glorify Him, that means giving Him the right due, nor do they thank Him for the opportunities that they have on a daily basis. How sad. But that's the world we live in, isn't it? And when people don't do that, look at what it happens to them. Second part of verse 21. But became vain, proudful in their imaginations. And that's the world we live in too. We know more than God. Come on. We've been here. Look at all the science we have. All this information is being produced. And you guys are just idiots. You know, the Christians, we're just idiots. Because we just trust God. We just believe what He says. But you know what God says? He says He turns and He says they became vain, proudful in their imaginations. And what's this next part? And their foolish, not their wise heart, their foolish heart was darkened. That is a judgment of God. Isn't it? That here you have some people that are intelligent, that are wise according to the world standards, with all their imaginations, with all their hypotheses, with all their premises that they come up with. But they're just vain. They're proudful. They're standing to God and saying, we know better. As if they were there when God created it. I wasn't there. God was. And He wrote, got some people to write it down for us. That's good enough for me. That's better than money in the bank. Better than trusting in the government. You know, that's better than anything I've got around here. Because I'll tell you, the banks have failed us, the governments have failed us, here and in Spain, everywhere. You know, this is much better. God's Word. And we're going to come to that in just a minute. But it says their foolish heart was darkened. You take the path, this path, of not trusting in what God says, you're on a slippery slope. You're going down, down, down. Verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Isn't that a truth today? Isn't that an indictment of the people that consider themselves so wise? And I didn't say it here. God says it. Through the Spirit of God, by the pen of Paul, they became fools. 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 And that's an indictment in our society, folks. So when you consider, when you read the newspaper, when you read stuff, and you get all this highfalutin jargon coming out and everything, and it all sounds so pretty, but God's not in the picture, just remember, it's darkness. It's foolishness. And if you trust it, you're going on the side of the enemy. You know, the older I get, I never fought in any army. I never had to go through the draft. But you know what? I'm finding more and more the Christian life is a battle. And we know where the battle is waged greatly? Is in the mind. In the mind. Give the enemy a little bit of turf, and he'll take a mile. We can't do that. We got to stand strong on what thus saith the Lord. Not what Gil says. Not what the people at the pulpit says. God says. And the only thing that counts is what God says. And yet these individuals professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now what happens when you become a fool? Look at verse 23. There's an exchange. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So there's an exchange. You want all that foolishness? Well, God says, okay. And there's a slide. And it may not be individually. Careful here. Not necessarily individually. Many times it's a society goes down that. You know, some of the wisest scientifically of our time has been the Babylonians, the Egyptians. Well, you look at the Egyptians, they were incredible image lovers. Okay? They weren't following the one true God by no means an imagination. And you see that even though they had a high level of information and science, they were corrupted to the core when it came to God, the one true God. And you know what? Israel went down that route too. Because they wanted to be like the people around them. And you know what? As Christians, many times we don't like standing out. And if you don't stand out as a Christian, you know what happens? You're going to be like the rest. And if you're like the rest, you fall in the miry pit just like everybody else. And that's the sadness of the Christian that goes along with the things that are around him. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Can you see that? Yeah, there's this slide. You can almost see it in these verses. They're taking one step down, another step down. Now there's, you know, they're getting, who knows what kind of sexual stuff, who knows what other things they're involved in here. But you know, that's the reality. It's a society. Societies that give up God and think themselves better than God and everything else, sooner or later, you know, hey, diversity education in the United States, we got to have it, you know? We got to have homosexual teaching out there. In Spain, we got to have it too. And so the society says, well, that's okay. Why? Because they left God back, you know, back. They left God a long time ago. So our society says, well, we got to accept everybody. And so now they try to bring it into the schools. 5, 6, 7-year-olds are being taught that it's okay to have a mom and dad that are both females. Or to have two dads that are both mom and dad. And that's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. You know why it's not okay? Not because I said it. Because God said it. And what God says is absolute truth. There's no changing it. And if God brought down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, one day He's going to do it again. Because He hates that sin. Hates it with a passion. And yet we carouse it. We allow it. People even laugh at it. No. Because later on, if you don't condemn it, you put yourself in the same camp as those who are committing it. The Scripture says later on in this text. That's serious business, brethren. And that's just a sin. There are gobs of those out there that we laugh at, that we accept by watching television and not just saying, that is sin, it's wretched, it's wrong. and calling it by its name. But we let it slip. You know, we ought not to. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And that is so true. When you change the truth of God for a lie, you leave worshiping and glorifying God, and that other substance, whatever it is, it can be a statue of plastic, of wood, of gold. It can be an intellectual understanding of something, which is your God. It could be a woman. It could be a man. It could be a job. It could be a car. It doesn't matter. It's what replaces God in your life becomes that idol. And when you change the truth of God for the lie, you're done for. It's a question of time. What will take the affection of your heart? And you know, just like I have a wife who I love, I've got to protect my affection for my wife. Because every day I'm being bombarded dozens of times at beautiful women come after me. Don't you think that's the truth? Every time I see a commercial, man, they want me to bite at it. They show me legs. They show me everything under the sun almost. And in Spain, the commercials are worse than the movies because you can show anything from the waist up on TV. And if you sell shampoo in Spain, you sell it with a bare-breasted woman on television. It hasn't got to those extremes yet in the United States, but it will get here. It'll get here. It might take another 10 years. It might take another 20. But it'll get here. But the reality is, things take affection. And for some people, it's through their eyes. Brethren, I confess where my sin is. Where I've got to put guards. I've got to put shields up. But you notice other people sin by their intellectual knowledge. Others sin by their fame. They want to be something in this world, be it an executive, be it a famous basketball player. The pride. You know what? It's the same. When I see all these basketball players and football players, number one, what are they telling you? What are they telling us? Who are they giving the glory to? Very few players have I seen get on their knees and put their heads up and say, "Thank you, God." Some do. Praise God for some of those. Praise God for some of those. But they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And where do lies come from, brethren? From Satan, who is the father of lies. He doesn't care how people go to hell. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if it's through organized religion that has been on the face of this earth for the last couple thousand years, or through some new theory that's being expounded on in some classroom in a college. Who cares? As long as he takes you down the wrong path, his job is done. His job is done. And so they serve the Creator, the creature, more than the Creator. Isn't that the case? Why are we having such a problem in the United States right now? Why is there so much worry? You know, what we're seeing right now is where people's hearts have been the last 10, 20 years revolved around things and more things and more things. And now that they can't pay for those things and they're losing their things, they're hollering and screaming so the government can bail them out. But they've been showing us that their love has been all these things. Where has their heart been? Where has their heart been? They serve the creature. That's what we've seen the last 10 years. And now it's payday. God says, you want to mess with me? You'll see. What does God say in Galatians? He says, God will not be mocked. What a man sows, he shall also reap. You reap to the wind. You sow to the wind. You'll reap to the whirlwind, doesn't it? That's the case, and that's the society in which we live. Verse 26, For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. You know, in the past, sure, you see a bed scene, it's a man and a woman. We were watching something last night. What do they have to do? They put two women in there. You know, they got to do that nowadays. You know? They're not going to show you just a bed scene with a man and a woman. They're going to show you a bed scene with either two men or two women now. They got to do that. Why? The slide is there. Because they're showing it's socially acceptable to show that now. It's gross. God says it's an abomination. There it is. God says, you don't want me. Okay. Let's see how good you do. Let's see how good you do. And God says, okay, you go live without me. I want to see the results. The results are there. The results are there. How sad. How sad. Verse 27. And likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meat. And you know what I see there? I see all these infections that have been plaguing society over the years. Just plague. You know? AIDS. Venereal diseases. They're there. God says, I'm going to give it to you. And you know, men, great, medicine comes up with something else. They'll eventually get rid of AIDS. But you know what? They'll continue on, and God will throw another one at it. Sooner or later, something else will come down the pipeline. You know why? Because God says, I'm giving you time. I'm giving you time. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. It's like, I really don't want you. I really don't need you. Listen, I can function in our society without God. I can go shopping. I can go to work. I can buy gasoline. I don't need God. For what? That's the world we live in. And you talk to somebody about God, and they laugh at you sometimes. You know, that's from the medieval time. That's when you lived out in the boondocks, and there was fear of spirits. We don't have those spirits anymore, so we don't need God. I've heard people tell me that in Spain. You know, it was scary in this town when we didn't have any streetlights. But we have streetlights now, so we don't need God because we have lights. Oh, okay. That's just it, huh? We got lights now, we don't need God, you know? Sorry. But it says that God gave them over, for the third time, to a reprobate mind. A mind that doesn't think right. A twisted, vile mind. A mind that doesn't perceive what is there correctly. And you know, today, I know for some of you older folks, you're not aware of this much, or maybe you are. With the computer age, we live in a virtual society. Virtual is that you can even on your computer, you can conjure up things and design things, but they're really not there. They're not there. You know, it's like some of the stuff out of Star Trek, some of you are aware of that, where they beam in and you see this thing that's there. Well, societies, you can see all sorts of virtual things, but they're not there. They're not there. God says these minds are filled with all these things that they can see, but they're really not true. Because there's only one true God. Only one. All others are lies and copies. Because you know what Satan does? He doesn't just throw God out of the picture. He makes clones and copies that are different. You know how many Christs we have in Spain? Dozens, if not hundreds.
we have the Christ of this and the Christ of that and the Christ of that. And they're all different idols. Satan doesn't care what they're all called, as long as they're Christ. You're following Christ, aren't you? No. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one that leads the way and the truth and the life. Only one. Only one. And I find that one in His sacred word. Turn with me to Luke. Luke chapter 4. The temptation, brethren, to not suffer for Christ is a real one. The temptation to turn away from God's truth is a real one. Satan, in this chapter, tempted the Lord. He tempted the Lord, and we'll start reading in verse 3. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus had not eaten for 40 days. He was hungry. But what does Jesus say? And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The temptation is there to sell yourself out for food. A real need. But you know what Jesus says here? No way. Man shall live by every word of God. We need to live every day eating God's word. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. You can eat God's word and not have nutrition. You know that? My father-in-law, this is about 10 years ago, maybe not so long, about 8 years ago. My mother-in-law took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, looks to my mother-in-law, says, why don't you feed the man? He's losing weight. She was just like, I feed him all the time. He says, have him open his mouth. He opened his mouth. He had this abscess in there. He wasn't chewing. So he was just eating and nothing was staying with him. So he was just expelling the food and not getting any nutrition from it. So you could be going to the Word with not the right way and not be fed from it. And if you're not fed from it, you are going to shrink. You're going to get thinner. And eventually, possibly even die. Because you are not strong in the Word. So it's the attitude that you must have of going to the Word is just as important as being in the Word. And we find that in this chapter. Verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. A poor and contrite spirit and trembles at his word. Brethren, that's what we need. You know what that's called? That's called brokenness. That's called, God, I need you. God, if you don't feed me, I ain't going anywhere. God, if you don't work in me, I'm done. I'm done deal. I'm dead meat. The enemy's got me licked because he's got far more experience. He's got far more craftiness. Lord, I want to come to your word. Help me as I'm in it to put the shields up against the enemy's lies. If I don't do that, it's just a question of time. The slide is there. You know what? I don't even want to be close to it. I don't even want to be near it. May God help us to stay away from that slippery slide. down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're a God who loves us, a God who cares about us, a God who's taken the time to write us a wonderful love letter, the Scriptures, a God who's powerful enough to care for it, to bring it to us, to watch over it, a God who brings it to us so that we open it, so that we fall in love with it. As we read it, as we meditate upon it, that it would change us through the work of your Spirit more into the image of your dear Son. Oh Father, forgive us for how often we go to your Word as if it's just a newspaper or a magazine, not expecting it to do its work of changing our lives. But yet, Father, we thank you that you are alive, that you're working in us. And Father, we commit our lives to you, asking that we would have that humble and contrite heart. That we wouldn't be like those that are described in Romans 1. Vain imaginations, proudful hearts, men and women who turn their back on God. Oh, Father, protect us. We thank you that we have salvation, those of us who have trusted in you. And yet, Lord, we want to be children who honor their Father in heaven by the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we look at, the things that we think about, the things that we meditate upon. Oh, Father, help us to be careful what our heart's affections are caught up with. That we would give you all the glory and all the thanksgiving, for we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.